What you're listening to now is some of the music from the early days of Guster. On their first album, Parachute, from 1995, it was a pared-down sound that featured a couple of acoustic guitars and infectious grooves from a set of bongo drums.
My, my, how things have changed since I've been away.
Today they have a decidedly bigger sound, and the group has joined us in NPR Studio One to prove it. That was awesome. So for those out there who didn't recognize it, that was the Weekend Edition theme song by Guster.
Is this going to be like a Roots thing where we just become the house band?
Maybe. That would be awesome. We just had you and you just like played and like we could riff. It was awesome. Thank you for doing that.
Sure.
It's great to have you guys here. I want to introduce you. We've got Ryan Miller.
Hello.
Adam Gardner.
Hi.
Luke Reynolds.
Hello.
Brian Rosenworcel.
Hi.
So you have a new album, which we want to talk about, Evermotion, and we're going to launch right into the music first. Ryan, what do you want to start it off with?
We're going to play a song called Simple Machine.
Let's hear it.
One, two, three, four. Static, steady, plastic motions. Let's push, beat them, almost breathe them. I'll never find my way back. I'll never find my way back home.
That was Guster playing Simple Machine here in NPR Studio One. That was Ryan Miller on piano, Adam Gardner on guitar, Luke Reynolds on bass, Brian Rosenworcel on the drums. So let's talk about how this all began. You guys have known each other for a long time, right? At least three of you. Ryan, you and Adam and Brian began as a trio at Tufts University way back in 1992.
Yeah, we made a four-song cassette tape.
I remember that.
To enter into the Tufts Battle of the Bands. We didn't get in.
Oh, you didn't.
We didn't even get to compete, I don't think.
That really lit a fire underneath
us. It's like, we're going to get into the Battle of the Bands next year. And we all met and we'd all been in bands, but none of us had sort of, we didn't share any of the same musical background. I think us writing songs was sort of a way of us just being able to play music together.
What were those initial conversations like? I mean, I'm just imagining the three of you seeing each other on that first day. Oh, you play guitar? Cool. Yeah, I play guitar.
Yeah, really? But you're missing
the do you really play?
Yeah,
like,
but then
you
miss the best part where the guy's like, I got a pair of bongos. That's the best part about this story is that there's a dude who brought his bongo drums to his dorm room.
Well, I mean, I was shocked then and I'm shocked now that you guys let me in the band. I just had bongos.
I do want to talk a little bit about the bongos, mostly because I have a personal obsession with them. And they were a big part of your early sound. Is that just because, Brian, you were really into the bongos and you said, if you take me, you take my drums, you take my bongos?
I mean, I wasn't even into the bongos. I literally brought them and put them on the shelf of my dorm room and I became friends with these guys and was like, yeah, I play. And then they let me in their band and I kind of grew the percussion kit as we wrote songs together.
Right.
Do you want a bongo lesson?
Kind of. It's so odd that you would ask. It's so weird. It's like you could read my mind.
I've never given or received a bongo lesson. This will be my first one.
You and me both, my friend.
Okay. It's pretty simple. There's the little one and the big one. You don't want to like hit it with a flat hand. You don't want to pancake the bongo. You want to hit it with the fingertips and let the tone project. Mm-hmm. So, repeat after me. We'll do like a Simon Says, okay? Oh, you totally know how to play the bongos.
Okay, give me something hard.
Okay, I'll do a little Flintstones.
Okay.
Want me to do that slower?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah!
I actually took real drum lessons in high school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I really do like to drum. Anyway, so that was just like a personal indulgence, so thank you. It's been 2 decades. How have you guys seen your music change? I imagine it just inevitably does over that period of time.
I mean, honestly, for me, it paralleled my musical education. We were sort of listening to Toad the Wet Sprocket when we started, you know, really, honestly.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, our influences are so much deeper. And obviously there was bootstrapping that happened with certain producers that we worked with. I think our first producer, Mike Dineen, actually helped us a lot at just what it was like to be a band. I think Steve Lillywhite, who we made our third record with, worked.
Yeah.
So we've been really proactive about trying to be better songwriters and tunesmiths and players and arrangers and singers.
Let's play a track actually off the album, and then we can talk a little bit more about it. We're going to play something off the first track called Long Night.
Was it always this magnificent? 'Cause it feels so different in the morning light. Like the first word from your firstborn. Landscape transformed by the virgin light.
This album was produced by the Shins keyboardist, Richard Swift. How did he shape what this ended up being?
Well, Swift sort of came on our radar a few years ago, and there was pretty much like 2 names on our list, and he was the top one. He seemed like he was a little bit of a madman.
How did he push you into some uncomfortable places?
Well, I mean, one of the first conversations we had with him, we explained, well, our last couple records, we got stuck and they took like a year each from front to end to record. And he's like, I've never taken more than 9 days to make a record.
Wow.
So there was a little bit of like, well, what's going to happen?
Did you end up doing it faster? Did you record? Was the process shorter?
The whole thing was 3 weeks.
We kind of just like let go and he sort of steered the ship and it was totally against everything I'd ever learned about how to make a record, and we never want to make a record another way again.
Yeah. Can I end by asking kind of a big picture, though, serious philosophical question?
I'm clearly willing to go there.
Clearly you can go there. It's hard to make music for 5 years. It's really hard to make music for 20 years. How do you fight monotony? How do you keep creativity going? And are there lulls? And when they come, do you just accept them?
We're brothers. We all met when we were 18. I'm 42, spent 24 years, you know, more than half my life in a band and a business. None of us planned to go to Tufts University and be in a band. You know, this was like the fact that we graduated from college and bought a van and went, you know, started traveling as soon as we graduated, were able to support ourselves right away, was just a farce. And so I think it was sort of like, well, let's pour gas on this as much as possible. But yeah, it's been like pretty amazing journey, and feeling like now we're still so excited to like go play music again is nuts. Okay, it's nuts. Let's do it. Say yes.
Well, it was great to talk with you guys. Thank you, so much for coming in. Before I let you go, your choice. Play us out on something from the new album.
I got a song. I know a song we can play. It's called Lazy Loves from our forthcoming album, Evermotion.
That's Guster playing Lazy Love in NPR Studio One. You can hear the full song plus a few extras on our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.
Come on up. Let's not get